Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Hooray! I am delighted to welcome back to the studio today the fabulous Anke Herrmann, who is the midwife to this podcast and my guardian angel in all things technical. Welcome, Anke. Can you start with a brief outline of who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back. I'm always, always enjoying being a guest on your podcast. Yeah, so I don't know, multi-passionate, multilingual, yes. Multi-whatever. So I grew up in Germany, then moved to Australia, lived in the UK, and 18 years ago, I packed all up, moved to Spain, and started a sewing business, Incredible. With this whole air of, let's just see what happens. That was literally my business plan. So as you can imagine, I learned a few things on the way.
And for those interested in knowing what she learned, there's actually, it was one of the very first podcasts. So if you scroll back, you will see Anke Herrmann, I think, was even the first.
I think it was the second or something.
Second, so you can find out more about that. Yes.
Yeah. What I know about business, I learned in the process of trying to sell flamenco skirts. Right. So, yeah. And so there were a lot of unexpected lessons in there. And it led me to burn myself out because I didn't know how to say no. And out of turning that around, it really grew that urge, almost that obsession to help other people who have something they're really passionate in life about and want to turn into a business so that they can really do work that lights them up rather than just going through the motions, because life's too short to right. just go through the motions. And the people who have the courage to take the leap but then find Jesus, there's challenges that you never saw coming. So yeah. I really wanted to support people with that kind of sounding board and help that I never had.
Yeah.
And so that's why I went and did coach training. And, that's really where I was looking. And also what I'd seen was that building a business is actually going through exactly the same creative process as making a dress or writing software, right? So now when I discovered that it's actually the same process, it's an iterative process. It's a combination of practical, like honing your craft. You need to kind of develop your skills.
Right.
But then you also need to allow intuition, creativity, play to come in. When both of those blend, that's when magic happens. When you just blindly follow somebody's proven success formulas and you think it's just like a straight line and you just follow. So that's paint by numbers. That's not art. And that's never yours.
Right. Well, for me, it's almost like a contradiction in terms, right? You started off very much as a tech girl. I would sort of see more, this sounds awful, but the nerd as in not very creative, it's either zero, one, it's either on or off. And at the same time, you're bursting with creativity.
That's funny though, because I don't even see it like that. I mean, first of all, like my background initially, I'm a linguist, I studied languages. I wasn't a tomboy kind of girl. I didn't study anything technical. I stumbled into the software industry and discovered, it's just like a programming. It's just like another language. Like that's how that world opened up to me. And I also saw that with the zero on and off, zero and one at the heart of all of this, you can and have to be very creative to turn a process. If you go and try and build a tool to make somebody's job easier, you need to communicate. That's why in the end, like having the background in teaching and linguistics was like actually my superpower, which I thought was going to be my, like basically the challenge I was going to have because I wasn't nerdy. Yeah. It was the gold because I was the person that could talk to clients and get out of clients what they really needed, not what they said they wanted, right? It really helped in the end. But so I always looked at coding as exactly an expression of that. It requires the technical skill, just like painting. Yeah. If you don't understand about proportions, about colors, about lights, about composition, there's only so much you can do to express your creativity, right? So you need, and with dressmaking, it's extreme. If you don't know how to sew, whatever you come up with is going to be severely limited by your skill.
That's a wonderful way of looking at it. And I mean, since the topic for today is tech and taming the tech monster, you know me firsthand from having managed to coach me all the way through creating this podcast and actually teaching me all the tech that goes with it, with editing the episodes, creating the artwork, etc. I mean, I don't believe I'm the only woman, certainly in the 50 plus category, who seems to go sort of slightly brain dead when faced with anything new technical. We sort of freeze and think that we're not going to understand it, and it's also complicated, and it's not the way that we think, etc. Whereas if we had that perspective of tech, of being creative, I think that would probably help, you know, to take away that sort of silly fear, a bit like, you know, the finance. I was talking about that with Giovanna yesterday. You know, still women tend to sort of all things financial and all feel things technical, etc., are not part of our normal wiring, which is absolute rubbish. But what I also find interesting is that tech sort of seems to have followed you through your life, though, even if it wasn't your main purpose, as in, okay, you stumbled into it, as you say, and then had a career in it in England. And then in Spain, you went to do something completely different and creative with your flamenco dresses. But you got more and more called upon by people around you who needed help with the technical side of things. And when I found you, I was looking for someone to help me set up a podcast. And there, I mean, you really are amazing in allying the technical side, which you somehow make sound very, very simple, but you also manage to explain to people in a way where we actually get.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I did actually write my thesis on automatic machine translation. So it wasn't even like, yeah, it wasn't even started. It's even started there when I'm like really looking at it. But yeah, I don't know. I've come from a long line of engineers, so I guess my brain does work a little bit like that. So it does come kind of easy. But I think at the heart of it, I'm very much a teacher at heart. Right. And I think nothing gives me more joy than seeing somebody discover their own capabilities. And I think, and you're living proof, because yeah. I remember when you first came, Wonder Podcast, or editing, oh no, I want nothing to do with that.
Yep. And I remember you said to me, fine, yep, sure, I'll find you someone. But in the meantime, I would just like you to know how it works, like that if, you know, one day you're pressed for time, you know how to do it. So I sort of reluctantly said, well, okay, fine then. Then you started sending me these short, like, Loom videos explaining exactly how it works, etc. And lo and behold, then I had one success, and then, you know, then I realized I could do it, and then overcame a few obstacles. And that feeling of pride and of knowing how to do that is immense. So, I mean, you are, as you say, a good teacher as well. Now, first of all, do you see this in women? Sort of the thing that I had where I sort of seem, you know, for an, let's say, a moderately intelligent woman to go slightly brain dead when I have to do anything technical. Do you see that in other women?
All the time. All the time. And when I first stumbled into the software industry, I was exactly like it. And I was 30 at the time. But I would always, initially I was like, oh, there's the future's here. Like, I can see that there's something here. I'm feeling drawn to it because, you know, but oh my God, this is way too much. This is like overwhelm. I don't know. This is a rabbit hole. I don't even know where to start. It's totally overwhelming. Oh my God, I'm too old to get started with this. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not really technical. I went through all of these.
Yeah.
And for me, the turning point came when I recognize that they, as I said before, it's like programming language. Wait, language. It's a language. Wait, yeah. I know how to learn languages. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, I think part of what I saw there was, wait, it's a language. And it's actually easier than a natural language because it has a vocabulary that isn't too big. And it has a very static structure as a grammar, but without all the, you know, variations,
yeah,
and whatever.
So,
exactly, right? So it's like, right. Oh, it's like learning a language, just simpler. Great. Now, the thing is, when you started, you're not going to read Shakespeare after watching a few intro lessons on how to speak English, right?
Right.
So you're not going to go and pick out Shakespeare. You know that there's a lot. You need to break it down. You need to pull out first the bits that you need most often. And right. Kind of just figure out that one bit. And then from there, you expand slowly, right, into what you need. You use this, you learn that you don't go blindly studying wild whatever. You start with the things you actually need and expand from there and create yourself these reference points that where it makes it easier to then grasp one thing because you already know this other stuff, right?
So right, it's breaking it down, isn't it? Like you did with those Loom videos, you would explain one thing and I would very scholarly write it down for the times that I was trying it out. And, you know, but now I do it blindly. I don't use any of my notes anymore. Yeah. It's now I've learned the language.
Now you know, yeah, exactly.
Right, you actually wrote a book, right?
Yes.
Cool. And so who is that book actually for?
Well, it's basically for exactly... Well, I think men probably fall in that category too, but they usually don't admit it, you know? And so it's women who will kind of expect too much from themselves and allow these like, oh my God, you know, to have this resistance to fear, to tech, and sometimes a real fear. But most of the time, it's just resistance. It's like, oh my God. And I'm like, that's exactly how I felt when I first came across this stuff. So that's basically who it's for, to break this open, to really question the assumptions that are underlying there. And I basically break them open and prove that they're like rubbish. And so, yeah, encouraging people to question their assumptions before they question their capabilities.
Right. Yeah, and to be honest, it's not even as if it's a choice nowadays. Do I want to learn? I mean, technical stuff rules our world, whether it's, you know, learning new skills or, we're hopefully coming out of the COVID pandemic now. You know, we've had to learn a lot more about working online, about all the different, you know, conferences, online services, etc. Whether we want to or not, we are in a highly digitalized technical age. And, you know, we're talking about 50 plus, so we're not talking about either retirees, though they, of course, also need it in order to interact with grandchildren or their children, or, you know, people are all over the world. But also, you know, lots of us are still working. Lots of us are also looking for new jobs. And if we don't have a basic amount of technical knowledge, or at least the confidence and the trust that we can learn it,
that's the main thing.
We're shutting ourselves out of the system for no reason at all. We have no sort of deformation that means that we cannot learn technical things. And I liked what you said about the idea of it being, you know, of there being like a pattern and how you learn it. And also there is a methodology in that. I mean, I think, you know, it's nice to know that if you follow these steps, then this will ensue. It's not some sort of totally random topic where sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're not, but it does start with that confidence. I've just had to change my phone because the screen broke. And there again, I was like, oh, I don't want to change my phone. I'm going to have to, you know, program all of, well, I mean, not even program. What are we talking about? You know, adding the apps back again or getting my bank account to work again. But there is that initial like, oh gosh, no, you know, maybe I'll peer through the cracks rather than actually have to go through the step of having it all redone. And it is so ridiculous. And yes, I fluffed and I puffed and I got angry with it. And it took me a few days to get everything like I wanted, but now it works.
Yeah. And I think that's really at the heart of it. If you can replace resistance with curiosity, right? And it's literally, I mean, you've gone through that process, right? And I love taking people through that process because I'm always giggling, I'm grinning before you even start, because I'm just waiting for the moment that you go and say, I did something technical and it was fun. And everybody gets to that point. Some actually quite quickly, some take a little longer, but when they discover, because what you said before, and then I had a success, and nothing is as addictive as progress. So the whole job is, how can you gift yourself opportunities, little tiny step opportunities to make progress? Because that's when you pick up that the confidence doesn't come magically from somewhere. It comes usually from progress. When you all of a sudden see that you've done something that you never thought you could. I remember actually in the mid 90s, somebody dragged me along to a Tony Robbins event in Sydney. And we did the firewalk thingy. Right.
Yes.
I remember walking in there. She dragged me, a friend dragged me along. Come with me. I don't want to go alone. I'm like, okay. Firewalk. Hell no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not crazy. So I remember signing the no claim, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, thingy that we can't sue them if we burn. Exactly. So I'm like, I can sign this because, like, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. So now then the guy guides you through all these visualizations. And I remember on the first day, not on the last day, on the first day at night, the thing started in the evening at 3 o'clock in the morning, we walked over these coals, right? And I remember the thing I took away from that was like, wait, a few hours ago, I walked in here convinced that I was never going to do that.
Yeah.
And now I did something that I never thought I could. And immediately there was, what else can I do that I don't think? And the thing is, it wasn't the end game. It was the starting point of the weekend.
How much you still remember it now? I mean, you still remember the incredible of overcoming your own fear and replacing it with, you say, with a victory. And as you were saying, you know, if we talk about the tech, I mean, it's the experience as well. I mean, you could have told me until you were blue in the face how it had to be done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I could have dutifully said, yes, yes, teacher, and written down all my notes, et cetera, and done absolutely nothing about it and screamed for help all the time. But from the point of view that I started doing it and that I saw, I mean, let's be honest here, it wasn't totally smooth the whole time. I did scream for help lots of times. But it wasn't a help as in do it for me. It was a help of, you know, why did this go wrong? And I would actually even say to you, why? What did I then do wrong in the process for this to have happened? And so then you're trusting the fact that it's not you who's an idiot. It's just that maybe that list of things in that order didn't work with this particular program that I was using. So it is, first of all, daring, take that first step and trust your ability and then try it. Because if you don't try it, you never know. And there is something extremely satisfying in the being a procedure. You know, you do this and then you do that and then you do this. And I remember one time I was getting cocky, remember, and I did it faster than usual and something didn't turn up. And I said, well, I don't understand. It's not working anymore. And he said, yeah, well, you forgot to click that it was a podcast, that I didn't, you know, slow down. So there was nothing wrong. The process was still the same. And it was just the fact that I jumped the gun. Okay. So, I mean, we have this book.
Great point.
About doing, you know, about first of all, you know, like your book says, how do you overcome all these limiting beliefs and how do you empower yourself to see all the things that you can do and dare actually try it? I mean, for people who haven't got the book, you know, what tips would you give women in particular, 50 plus, because that's our audience, about our attitude towards stuff?
I think the main thing is every time you hear this little voice on your shoulder say, oh, you're too old, you're too this, tell them basically, question that, right? Because normally it's literally like, okay, let's just take the too old. Do you know any young person who's useless at tech, right? Yeah. So it's not an age thing. And do you know anybody who's older who's really tech savvy?
Yeah.
So it's not an age thing,
no.
Right? And I actually think young people, considering that they've grown up with the stuff, they're incredibly, you know, there's an enormous amount of young people who kind of have, I always say they have quick thumbs, but they don't really understand how any of it works. Yes. So they're not tech savvy at all, right? Yeah. So it's not an age thing, right? So if you take the, oh, I'm a woman, well, there's two parts to that. One part is, I always look back at my upbringing in the Eastern Bloc, like in Eastern Europe. And we had like in the 70s, in the 80s, over 50% of engineers were women.
Ooh, that's right? True, right?
And so it almost like, if I also look at back at our school system, it was literally like they kind of forgot to tell us that we weren't supposed to be technical.
Yeah.
Right? So it, again, it's like some people felt drawn to it and others didn't. Just like men, there's some that are technical and some that are not. So it's, again, it's not a gender thing. And on top of it, most of the tech work isn't really that technical. Like nobody needs to, all the platforms that you're ever going to have to use online, nothing requires you to write code, to compile code, right? It's like, no, it's, I think, and you've experienced it. And I see it all the time when people kind of, and that's why I always laugh. Sooner or later, everybody goes, oh, I didn't realize this could be so much fun.
Yeah.
It always happens when they realize that 90% of the work is actually figuring out, it's problem solving, it's creative, it's figuring out how you bring your idea into the world. And that's a creative process. And
yeah, it's using it before we would have, you know, maybe before we would have sharpened our quills and taken our ink from, the, I don't know, the blood of some animal or whatsoever. I mean, each time comes in its time. And I mean, some of it is probably just a general resistance to change. And the thing is that nowadays, the change is constant. That's the biggest difference.
It's probably faster.
So you have to be up to date. You have to learn. You know, the car came out. It took, I don't know, 50 years or so from the concept to actually realization. You had time to get your head around it. And first, no, women couldn't drive, etc. And then each thing takes, you know, let's say 10, 20, 30 years or whatsoever. And nowadays, the big difference is the change is constant in technical matters.
Just move. If you look at the come at it from, okay, so there's just a new way of doing something. You know, it's got nothing to do with tech. You know, it's like, I mean, if you can see that, and the thing is, the fact that you're still alive means you've been managing just fine until now, right?
Exactly. We have learned the tools in order to survive, and they are not the same tools that we needed to run away from the saber-toothed tiger.
You know, and not even the same tools that your mom used, you know, to do stuff she needed to do when you were little, right? So it's like, yeah, there's nothing really different. And none of this stuff is so technical. Nobody has to do complex calculations for anything, right? So it's just literally looking at it. Okay, there's a tool. How does it work? You know, and I always say, and even in the book, this example, you know, if you've ever bought a new washing machine, right? I don't remember ever having spoken to anybody who would get a new washing machine, unpacks the thing, sees all the dials or the buttons, well, I don't know what this thing does, right? So I don't know how this works. So there's two types of people. Some will go, well, I'll just fiddle with some, I mean, this looks like, yeah, there's a hole here. I'm going to put the detergent in there and I'm just going to press some buttons, see what happens. And there's the other type of person who goes like, let me just get out the manual and see nobody in their right mind will send back the washing machine saying, oh, this is too hard. I don't know how this thing works. Like, take it away. I don't want to know. Exactly. Everybody works off the assumption that they have what it takes to figure this thing out.
And and as you say, either you do it by trial and error or you do it the research way.
Whatever.
You look online, etc.
Yeah, but I'm suggesting that you approach anything you need to do online with that same attitude, work off the assumption that you have what it takes to figure this out.
Okay. So we've got that as tip and questioning your beliefs about your capabilities. What else do we have?
Well, the other thing that I because it's fun, I have to bring it in. It's learn to ask better questions to get better answers.
Right.
Because there is one. And I mean, and everybody always laughs because everybody has examples because we all do it in any area of expertise that isn't exactly ours. A classic example, a friend comes over and she goes, do you have a hairpin? And then, nope, don't have it. She goes, okay. And she's about to walk out. I'm like, wait, what do you want a hairpin for? And she goes, oh, you know what I did? You know that shed I've got outside? I've got a padlock there. And I put in the wrong key and I tried to open and then the key broke. And now I've got this piece of key in there and I can't open the lock. And I'm thinking, wait, a tatting needle might just be perfect.
What's
a tatting needle, right? And I'm like, well, lace making, sweetheart.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's a lace making technique. And so let me get, it's a sturdy needle that's fine enough to get in there, but thick enough to not. So anyway, we take the tatting needle, pull out that piece of key and the lock functions.
Right.
Now, what happened? If I hadn't been
curious,
I hadn't known, what the heck did you actually want? She would have walked away because what happened? So she had a problem. Now, she thought of what the solution could be, right? And then she went and asked help to get her solution to work, right? And so the problem is, when something isn't your area of expertise, the solution you come up with is usually not the best one,
right?
And you can't ask for what you don't know exists, right? So I really saw that, how that plays out in the online tech realm. When first with the pandemic was sort of just like people just got into this, like, oh, I need to do everything online, right? Somebody goes, messages me and says, hey, how can I compress a video? And my first question is, why the heck would you want to compress a video?
Right.
And she goes, well, I need to email it. And I'm like, why would you want to email a video? And she goes, and then it came out. She goes, oh, you know, I did this. I usually do this workshop in person. Now I had to do it on Zoom. And now I need to email the recording of that workshop.
Right.
Right. So now you could see her. You can imagine her sitting there. Oh, I need to send out email.
Email
the recording, attach file.
Yeah.
Email system goes, meh, file too big. Ah, must make file smaller, right? So you can follow the train of thought. And so again, she asked for what she thought the solution was. Yeah. Now I typed in how to compress a video in Google. You're into codecs and super technical shit. And it's just like, no, like this doesn't give you an answer to
there
what
must
you
be a better way,
right? It takes you down the garden path. So now the exercise and the game is, next time you're looking for help, say, well, I want to, because that thing of jumping to the solution, it's almost subconscious.
Yeah.
Before you ask for how to compress a video or the hairpin, ask yourself, I want a hairpin in order to, in
right.
order. Or you could just start out, just type in the damn problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How to pick a piece of key out of a padlock.
Right.
That gives you much better answers than asking for a hairpin.
That is so spot on. That is exactly true. And we do that all the time.
Yeah.
And we just focus on what we think our solution is going to be when we dare ask. So either we don't ask and we just spend hours, you know, looking for that one thing that we want, where there might be a much easier solution out there if we'd only ask the right question.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to forget that. That's a very good one.
The thing is, a lot of people have told me that what you just said, they even hesitate to ask. But the problem is, if you ask some question and somebody else doesn't really know what you really want to do, then they will give you whatever answer.
That was that question.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. The trick there is to literally explain the problem to somebody and allow their knowledge, their experience, their creativity.
Yeah, and nothing stops you from saying, I thought of maybe using a pin.
Well,
I mean, it doesn't mean
fine.
You can't, you know, explain what you thought. Okay, that's a very good one. And your last tip?
The last tip is simply give yourself some slack. The fastest way to make progress is not to skip steps, right? As we know. And so the thing is, especially with tech, for some weird reason, women put that pressure onto themselves. Oh, I should really know this.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Right.
Yeah.
And I brought up this example in conversation with somebody who turned out to be a lawyer, which was really funny. Because you say, well, if you think about online tech, like it's a large field of stuff and it's constantly moving, probably faster than other areas of expertise.
Yeah.
Right. So if you go and decide, hey, I want to be a lawyer, right? So how do you do that? You go to law school. How many years is that?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years. And then you come out and you're going to be a baby lawyer and you know it, right?
Yeah.
Because you come out a baby lawyer. And I remember the first time I said that, the woman goes, yeah, I know, I'm a lawyer.
So
you're a baby lawyer. And you know, now you have kind of the basics and now you need to start getting experience.
Yeah, putting it in practice, right?
So we're talking 5 years, 10 years, whatever. What makes people think when they're being shoved into the digital world, usually especially with the pandemic, at a time and at a pace that they didn't choose?
Right.
What makes you think that you can just watch some bloody YouTube videos?
Yeah.
Right. So give yourself some time to explore this. Or like if I drop you in Tokyo, assuming you don't speak Japanese,
yeah,
that you don't apply for a license to be a cab driver tomorrow.
Right.
Right. First thing is you're kind of going to see, well, let me see whether I can get from the hotel to the teppanyaki place and back.
Yeah.
You know, and tomorrow you see whether you get to the park and back and you slowly explore the territory.
And there's more chance that you'll stick at it that way, right? Because if you're so harsh on yourself and frustrated that after watching for half an hour some sort of program on that you haven't got it, the chances are you'll give up, you'll get even more demotivated, you'll have even less self-confidence that you manage it. This is all fantastic. Anka, before you go, the book, first of all, Taming the Tech Monster, that's something that you can order online?
Well, it's on Amazon. So you can go to tamingthetechmonster.com and you can sign up and you can get a free PDF copy if you want. And you can go on Amazon and you get a Kindle or a paperback if you want.
Okay. Perfect. Now then, the work that you do yourself with your clients, is that to do with technical things? Can people come to you like I did for the podcast?
Yeah. So most of my clients starting podcasts, it's usually, you know, as you said before, like, you know, the doula of things online, you know, so right. Most of my clients have an idea to say, hey, you know, I've been teaching this stuff, you know, I've been training people, I've been coaching people in this context, and now I want to offer this online because I'm kind of, I need to get off that hamster wheel, right? But then where do I start?
Right. So you help people with all things, because you know? It's not just podcasts. I mean, it's online, any online products that they need to get out there.
Yeah. So if they have a service that they want to offer online where they go, oh, I want to have a membership, or I want to run this program online, but where do people sign up? Where does the button go? Right. So it's literally taking that whole process and designing that experience for their clients, so that we can then choose the right tools and the right systems to make that an experience that your clients go, oh my God, this is such a, you know, you on the other end don't have to spin your wheels fucking around with tech and admin all day.
Exactly.
So you get to do what you want and people get
And they can be surprised by learning how to do something that they didn't want to do as well. I mean, that is something really fantastic, is your capacity to make things that we think are complicated simple, and to teach them in the most patient but creative way. So I'm very grateful to have you around. So please stick around. Thank you, Anca, very much for sharing your Taming the Tech Monster tips. And I'm sure I will have you back some other day. Right, for the rest of you out there, let's tame this monster too, right? The more things that we can do, the more confident, the more we will thrive, and the better it will be for our businesses, for ourselves, etc. So I shall repeat briefly some of the tips that Anca has shared with us here today, and we can also just go and get this Taming the Tech Monster book by Anne. So replacing resistance with curiosity is something that I wrote down, and I'm really going to keep that one close to my heart because it works in all domains. It's questioning your belief about your own capabilities, whether it's as being a woman or learning tech after a certain age. I mean, who do you know who does? And you will see. So it's not an age thing. It's not a gender thing. Just assume that you have what it takes. As Anca said, you know, you've made it so far. So, I mean, you do have intelligence and resources, you know, to survive. Better questions to get better answers is, I think, really a very clever way of looking at it. And to not just focus so much on your solution that you're not then open to other ways and better ways to do it. I'm not going to forget that hairpin example. And to take it easy, to not be so harsh on ourselves when we don't get it straight away. Nothing is learned overnight. You first need to start with the easy steps. You need to practice it before you can move on to the rest, just like everything else in life. But the most important thing is to take that first step. So let's go out there, girls, and let's tame that tech monster, which will then give us the freedom to be the person that we want to be. See you again next week.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.